So it's nice to see you all today. As I said, I did have some communication with my wife this morning, and because of being at the Youth Congress, and there are about 4,000 or so there during the week, they're expecting an increase in local people coming, especially the young people in Spain. They're expecting about 5,000 together in one building. And recognizing that many people are away and so on, and it's good to see you other visitors here today. We're normally, very often busting full in here. Hard to find a seat, but I actually said to my wife, when she said 5,000 in Valencia, I said, well, I'll be very pleased to see 1/100th of that. So it's very good to see you all. In a reflection heading towards an act of communion service, I want to get your thoughts around what temptation is and how we might avoid it. I'm not preaching a sermon on sinlessness as such, but there are things that we can do or not do, and I'm not going to say that this is rocket science. It may be blatantly obvious, but I've been drawn to it recently because of some things that I've been reading and some conversations that some of us have been having. More about that in a moment. But I was mindful that it was Oscar Wilde who has reportedly said, I can resist everything except temptation. I can resist everything except temptation. I wonder if that's been a little bit of an adaptation of something that I did find that he did actually write. It's an interesting part of a longer discourse, but he wrote, the only way to get rid of temptation is to yield to it. I suppose that's one way. But what is temptation? What is temptation? Have you prayed the prayer that Jesus gave as an example to his followers who asked him, look, teach us how to pray? And what does Jesus say? Depends on the translation and how long ago we learnt the words. Was it, Our Father, help me, who is in heaven? Hallowed be, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, or in the heavens. Lead us not into temptation, but lead us not into temptation. Even Jesus gave that as an example in this model prayer. Lead us not into temptation. I was very glad. I can't say that my ancient Greek is tip-top at the moment, but while I was at Bible college there, I was having to learn Greek, and we had to learn Hebrew in my year as well. And in my second year, having to learn or finishing off Greek and learning Hebrew, it just kind of messed up my mind. But anyway, I think that's why I lost my hair. But I was so relieved in learning my Greek that there I was in one of my exams, and I opened up and immediately I was writing out all the word endings and stuff like that, just as my little cheat notes to help me remember things. And wow, the tutor had decided to give us the Lord's Prayer to translate. And I could remember bits. And I could remember that actually in the Greek, it says, what is it about the temptation? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the Greek, actually, the ancient old Greek, it says, it's actually deliver us from the evil one. But we don't normally have it translated that with that emphasis. I think that's a shame. But deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the tempter. Deliver us from Satan. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the person that tempts us. I was reading as part of my personal devotional. I thought I haven't gone through Proverbs for a while, so let's do that. So I was starting to read in Proverbs, and I'll invite you to turn open or turn on your Bibles and have a look as well in Proverbs chapter 5. And we won't dwell too much on some of the content. I'll leave you to explain to your kids some of the content another time. But here in Proverbs chapter 5, if you've got a title, it might read like mine does, Avoid Immoral Women. And as it reads in verse 3, it says, The lips of an immoral woman are as sweet as honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Well, as I said, I won't dwell too much on this, but there was the temptation described and depicted. And if the ladies are struggling with that kind of depiction, then maybe you can transfer it the other way around, and maybe you can get what this proverb is all about. The temptation, the anticipation, the looking at something is part of the whole big deal. I know I shouldn't, but looks really good. My mum went into town recently, just a few weeks ago, and then I got a message from her, and she says, I've just bought a new sofa. I said, Mum, I didn't know you were looking for a new sofa. Well, she was kind of, but she's been talking about a new sofa for a very long time, and I didn't expect that it would happen. And I said, I didn't know you were going out looking for a sofa. She said, I wasn't looking for a sofa. I said, well, why did you buy a sofa? She said, well, I went into the furniture shop, and I was just looking around, and I saw this really nice sofa there, and it was a nice colour, and it was really comfortable. The lips of an immoral woman are as sweet as honey. I suddenly think to myself, the temptation was there, and she didn't intend to go and buy a sofa, but she went to the furniture shop, and she sat down in the sofa, and she looked at it, and she thought, I like the look of this. And the salesman was very, very easily persuaded her to part with her money. Of course, she said, it was a really good deal. Would she have bought a sofa if she hadn't have gone into the furniture shop? No. Maybe it's a bit of a silly analogy, but maybe you can follow my line of thinking. If she hadn't have gone into the furniture shop, she wouldn't have been tempted to buy the sofa. This proverb is talking about this temptation. And then in verse 8, it talks about the people that go along the road, and you know, she's calling out to these gentlemen and so on. And then it says in verse 8, Proverbs chapter 5, Stay away from her, don't go near the door of her house. How do we resist temptation? How do we not buy a sofa? Let's put it back in this analogy. How do we not buy a sofa? We don't go into the furniture shop. How do we not, maybe this is a bit more pointed to us gentlemen, but how do we not look at this immoral woman with beautiful lips? If you read the rest of the chapter, you'll find out a bit more of other descriptions. I'll leave you to do that this afternoon. But how do we avoid these other temptations? Don't go there. What does it say? Don't go near the door of her house. What is tempting? The door? Or the woman? It's the woman that's the temptation. So if you want to stay away from the temptation, what do we need to do? We stay away from the door. Don't go there. Some of us in our midweek prayer group, and this provides an opportunity for me to invite more of you to come along on a Wednesday evening. Dare I suggest, in case they might run out this coming Wednesday evening at 7:30, but to some people bring food. Is that a temptation enough? Maybe I shouldn't use that word, huh? But please do come along on a Wednesday evening. You'd be very welcome. There's prayer and discussion and Bible reading, and we're working our way through a sequence of studies at the moment. You'll be very welcome. But as part of some of the discussion in the recent couple of weeks, we gave reference to two brothers, Cain and Abel. Now, I'm looking forward to preaching on this one time, so I'm not going to give too much away. And those that were there on the Wednesday evening, they got a little bit more than what I'm going to give you now. And I'm looking at one or two of them, and they're looking quite smug about that, or happy, I should say. But come along and find out more. But what do we have in the story of Cain and Abel? We have a situation of jealousy. The older brother jealous of the younger brother. The older brother's offering to God was not accepted to God because, well, I'm giving some of the game away now, but because it was just a thank offering and not including a sin offering. And we should never just come to God thankful without recognizing our sinfulness. Who's going to remember that for the sermon? A little bit of a spoiler. But God then comes to Cain. God comes to Cain before he ends up in the story he kills his brother out of jealousy. But God comes to Cain and God says to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you did what is right, would you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door." There's that reference again, that door thing. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. God, in effect, was saying to Cain, keep away from the door. Because you go near the door and you go near trouble. So you want to deal with temptation? Deal with the door first. Where did Cain and Abel learn their behavior? From mum and dad, of course. In our Sabbath school lesson this morning in the group upstairs, we kind of touched on the influence that we have as parents on our kids, how they can learn about faith from us. So what did Cain and Abel learn from mum and dad in relation to temptation and how to deal with it? Is it not surprising then that Cain struggled with going near the door? with this temptation. Because Adam and Eve were told, well, it wasn't the door, was it? God didn't say, keep away from the door. What did God say? Keep away from the tree. Keep away from the tree. But Adam and Eve, it's a proximity problem, wasn't it? Adam and Eve, they wandered too near the tree, too near the door. And then the temptation was there. If you want to deal with the temptation, first of all, you deal with the door. You want to be rid of temptation? Then stay away from the door. I finish with a few words and quotes. You see, one commentary on the story that we can find in a book called Patriarchs and Prophets. And whether we agree with the gift of prophecy from the writer or not, it's an interesting perspective. You see, the writer writes, in order to accomplish his work unperceived, Satan chose to employ as his medium the serpent, a disguise well adapted for his purpose of deception. The serpent was one of the wisest and most beautiful creatures of the earth. It had wings. We don't know it as wings now, but funny enough, I read an article a few years ago of some people saying along the backbone of some snakes that it looks like that maybe they had some kind of legs or something once upon a time. And of course, some people put that down to evolution. Maybe we can put it down to something else. It had wings, and while flying through the air, presented an appearance of dazzling brightness, having the color and brilliancy of burnished gold. Resting in the rich laden branches of the forbidden tree. There's an interesting point. It wasn't just a fruit. This tree was laden with fruit. Resting in the rich laden branches of the forbidden tree and regaling itself with the delicious fruit. It was an object to arrest the attention and delight the eye of the beholder. It was beautiful. Like the author in Proverbs says, if it was a woman, she had beautiful lips and a great figure. Wow! There was the temptation. This fruit was just deliciously looking. Thus, in the garden of peace lurked the destroyer, watching for his prey. Just a few more lines. The angels had cautioned Eve to beware of separating herself from her husband while occupied in their duty, in their daily labor in the garden. With him, she would be in less danger of temptation than if she was by herself. But absorbed in her pleasing task, she unconsciously wandered from his side. She saw a door, and she wandered towards it. On perceiving that she was alone, she felt an apprehension of danger, but dismissed her fears, deciding that she had sufficient wisdom and strength to discern evil and to withstand it. Have we ever been in that position of temptation? Maybe it was something simple like food. Or we're on a diet and we go near the fridge. Or maybe we're by ourselves and he looks very handsome. She looks stunning. And we've gone too close to the door. We think we have enough strength to withstand it. Mindful of the angel's caution, she soon found herself gazing with mingled curiosity and admiration upon the forbidden tree. How do we deal with temptation? Maybe we can struggle with that text that I read, we had as a scripture reading, and maybe it doesn't make sense sometimes. He will not allow the temptation to be more than we can stand. But God, I'm struggling with it. Well, stay away from the door. If you don't want to struggle with it, stay away from the door. But if we find ourselves opening the door and going in and making mistakes, it's not the end. Jesus loves us. That's why he came to this earth, to deal with the sin problem that separates us from him. So that one day, because of our faith in what he has done for us, everything will be restored. Everything will be made new. Everything will be perfectly complete. As we break to participate in a foot washing, the example that Jesus gave of submitting ourselves to each other, and then when we come back in and we take of the bread and the juice here, may we reflect on the times when we've wandered too close to the door. May we seek God's forgiveness, but recognize he loves us so much. He's dealt with it. He's ready to forgive us. Don't give in, as Oscar Wilde would have you do. Get out. Get out of that place. Get away from that door. As Solomon, the writer of the Proverbs, would have us understand.